Welcome to episode 250 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Well, it's been a while, but I'm glad to say the show is now back, and all sets continue each week in the usual manner. In this edition, we're getting right down to the nitty-gritty of taking pictures under pressure, as I share my experiences of a recent corporate photo shoot. There's a lot to get through and a fair bit of technical pointers, so let's just crack on, shall we? Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 250. It is just about 4:15 in the afternoon, and as I record this, it is a Wednesday. Now, as I record this, I am sat on the sofa at home, which is maybe not what you're expecting, but today's been a bit of a funny day. It's been one where I've split the location where I've been working. Normally, I don't work from home. I have sort of various different setups that I have. A lot of you know that I'll either be down by the water or in a cafe or in a pub. I also have an office space where I have a setup for if I need to be editing or putting together the podcast in a sort of a studio environment, that sort of thing. But what I thought I would do was just reflect back on a recent shoot. And with me, I've got my phone here with a few behind the scenes pictures, just in case I need a reminder of the setup, because this is going back probably a couple of weeks or so now. But the reason I'm talking about this now is that A, I didn't really have the chance at the time, certainly not whilst I was on location. And B, I have just this afternoon completed the final piece in the puzzle for supplying the final pictures. Now, before you think, well, hang on, isn't 2 weeks a long time to supply pictures? I have already supplied them a lot sooner via download through the client area of my website. But on this particular occasion, which is the case once a year, pretty much at the moment, it's the only clients I do this for, they actually require physical prints as well. So, of course, I had to liaise with the print lab, wait for the prints to come through, order some presentation folders, like slip folders, for them to go in, had to put them physically into the folders, box it all up, and post it off. And that's what I've done this afternoon. So, let's just kind of wind back a little bit and think about the logistics of the shoot. I know a lot of you are interested in the kit that I use and the settings and all this sort of thing. Now, I don't have my cameras to hand. I'm working purely from memory, which is, should be pretty accurate, because I've worked with this client for a good few years. The event we do every year, this particular event, it's always the same. The settings are pretty much always the same. The lighting doesn't really change. And like I said, I don't have my cameras, but I do have the behind the scenes pictures, which will just jog my memory a little bit. So this was a corporate client. I still do work for corporate clients as well as the outdoor stuff. And it was in London at a swanky hotel called the Dorchester. A lot of you will be familiar with the Dorchester. It's very, very well known, world renowned, in fact. And it was basically a conference that happens every year. And the requirement for the shots were speakers standing up on a stage, addressing the audience, talking about this, that and the other concerned with their industry. But then there were also these shots where the keynote speaker, someone of a certain standing, very well known, I won't share those details, they allowed the opportunity for the delegates to come and have a photograph with them. And it's a little bit kind of, well, it is very staged. It's pretty much stand on this point, look towards the camera, give a smile if you so wish, and that's it, and off they go. Very kind of, It's kind of traditional, but that's what they want, and I don't mind doing it because, you know, it's a nice pace to the evening, to the day. And you know, I'm happy to do those shots. So the day started off, or the working day for me with this client, I had to be shooting from 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I arrived there about 1:15 to set up. I was told that, oh no, you can't set up yet, because the room was being used. They were in a number of rooms, but the one where I was setting up a backdrop and lights for these post shots, wasn't available, so I needn't have been there so early. I thought I'd make an extra effort this year to get there early. So what I did, there was a requirement to have pictures of the well, like the ballroom, which is where the conference, the speakers and everything was. There was a requirement for that to be photographed before anyone was in there, before any of the seats started to be moved around where people shuffle around and all this sort of thing. So for that, I had my Nikon D800. It was low ISO, it was 100, because I was using a tripod, and on this occasion I was using my Gitzo Series 2 Traveler, which is a very lightweight carbon fiber, not too big, not too bulky. Really good when I'm working outdoors and I'm working, you know, walking around with a rucksack and all that sort of thing, camping equipment and all that. It cuts down the weight. That's not such an issue, other than the fact that I travelled up there by train and also had to take backdrop stands and backdrop material, as well as my camera kit. So ordinarily, if I was working in a more static environment like that, I'd take a slightly heavier tripod. I still have my Manfrotto 055. There's a newer version of that, but it's what I refer to as my scaffolding tripod, because the legs are just solid metal, quite heavy, but very dependable, very solid, never let me down. And if I'm not having to cart it around much, I like to just, you know, use that because it adds a bit of extra weight. And if I need to, I'll add some ballast underneath just to really root it down. So I was working with this lighter tripod, which is fine. And for those overall wider shots, I had my D800 and I had a the Nikon 24 to 70 f/2.8. I forget the exact settings now, but from memory, there was no movement, there were no people in there, and I think it was working out at around about 3 seconds at ISO 100, at around about f/16, I believe. That sounds about typical. What I had to do was balance out the shadow areas around the seats, which were sort of in the foreground, leading right into the sort of the near distance and beyond where the stage was, and then the brightness of the lights. And what was a challenge this time was they had changed the kind of display that appeared behind the speakers. And I should say there's this platform, this stage here, and a couple of seats there, or a number of seats actually, for like an in conversation type arrangement later in the evening. With a couple of glass tables with some bottles of water and some glasses. But behind that, it was a white or off-white display, but really, really good. They had a TV screen there with like a cutout, so that you did. It was basically a circular cutout with, and the screen display sort of obviously came through that. But that gave a different challenge, because if you ever tried to photograph television screens or LCD screens, or this sort of display screens at events, you'll know that there's a refresh rate. And if you don't have a slow enough shutter speed for to deal with that, you end up with banding or pixelation across the screen. Now, on these particular shots, it was absolutely fine. I was working at slow shutter speeds, like I say, something like between, I think I experimented between about 0.5 second and 3 seconds, and there was no banding. It was fine. A lot of people will say that for these sort of screens, you can work up to about 1/160th of a second, or maybe, in my experience, maybe 1/120th, 1/125th of a second, something like that. It varies between different screens, different setups, and what have you. I'll talk a bit more about that later because it wasn't quite so easy later on in the afternoon. But for those shots, it was fine. Nice, just static shots. I moved around the room to get different angles, zoomed in or physically moved in a bit closer or further back to get a range. And the client didn't want a lot of pictures. They never do. A lot of people, yourself included, maybe if you're new to photography or professional photography, you might think, well, you know, what do you charge for? Do you charge for the number of pictures? Do you charge for the time? Is there a certain expectation how many pictures you've got to supply? This particular client, I know through experience of working with them for about 7 years, that if I give them too many pictures, they haven't got time to look at so many hundreds of pictures. I think I supplied them, was it about 70 odd or 80 odd this time? Something like that. About 80 pictures, I think. So for these static room shots, which allowed all this lovely colour of the atmospheric lighting in the room and everything, and the lovely kind of architecture and decoration of the room to come through, I think I supplied maybe 3 pictures. So a couple from one angle, just for good measure, one from the other side of the room. So I did that, and I was going backwards and forwards between the ballroom where the conference was and this second room, which was where I needed to set up a backdrop for the posed portraits. And, I went back and forth, and this is a thing with photography, and I've heard this a lot. People will say to me, oh, okay, well, if you're not having to take loads of pictures, if you're not able to do your job or take these pictures yet, it's brilliant. You can just stand around and you're still being paid. And it's wonderful. And well, yes, there is that. You're still being paid because I'm paid for the time that I'm there. So on this occasion, it was from 2 till 9 or a bit before 2 until a bit after 9. But as I said to someone recently, so long as I'm there on location and I am being paid to be there, I want to be doing my job. And to me, my job is to be on the go all the time, making good use of my time. If I'm not taking pictures, I'm there thinking about the pictures. I'm setting up, I'm checking out angles, I'm doing test shots, all this sort of thing. So, like I say, there was a bit of back and forth having to wait and had to speak to a few people a few times saying, look, could you please ask, is the room ready yet? Can I do this? Can I do that? And there was some furniture that needed to be moved, so I had to wait for people, for the staff to move that. And that, I had to ask a few times on that. And, the process gets drawn out and it's quite frustrating, but it is the nature of the beast. It is often what happens. So I did the room shots and I did a few test shots for the presentation. Pictures like the keynote speaker and the partners of the firm giving their 15-minute sort of talks and all this. I'll talk about that in a moment. I was then able to go in and set up the backdrop and the lighting for the posed shots, but because of having to wait, and this was nothing to do with my anything that I was doing. I was kind of at the mercy of the organisers. I ended up having to miss some of the speakers, some of the pictures that I would normally take. And I did explain to my client, and they were very aware of it, and they, the agreement was, well, look, you're going to have to go and set up. That's fine. Just do what you can. And even then, latterly, I was told, right, stop. Can you stop doing those pictures of the speakers now? We need to go and be ready to do the posed shots. So twice I was kind of away from the shots that I like taking and I feel I should have been able to take. Anyway, so I went into the room, unpacked the backdrop stand, which ranges, it's quite old now. I don't even know what the brand is. I think it was Viewfinder Photography. A lot of you that go to the photography show every year, you'll know that those guys are always there. And they do lighting and studio type equipment, brackets and grip and backdrops and reflectors and all this sort of thing at a more, some would say, more reasonable rate compared to, say, Lasterlite. Now, I should just say I'm not affiliated to either of these two companies. you get what you pay for. I've used some of the cheaper stuff for years and it's done absolutely fine. I've used expensive stuff that has not lasted as long or has lasted better. It's, you know, horses for courses. So I've got this stand, which is pretty solid, and it's like an extendable pole. And that measures, I would imagine, probably about 8 feet, 9 feet, something like that, if you stretch it right out. I also had as it turns out, a Lastalite backdrop. It's kind of a mottled grey backdrop, which is a little bit, I won't say it's dated, it's a little bit twee. It's a little bit, not cliches, but again, you know, the client said, you know, we want a different backdrop. And in the past, they've had their branding there. They've used the existing room, the walls, which were not perfect. And I said, well, I can supply this. And I sent them an example of a picture, a corporate picture, which had been taken with this same backdrop there. I said, this is exactly how it's going to look. You know, if you think that's about right, I'll bring it. That's fine. And, you know, this was all done in plenty of time. So if they had said it wasn't what they were after, then, you know, we could have got something else. But it was okay in the end. So that normally it has a loop at the top. And that is about, I guess that's about, oh, I don't know, is it about 11 foot by 7? Something like that. I honestly don't know. But at the top, at one of the ends, running the length of the shortest length, if that makes sense, it's like looped and stitched. So what you actually do is you run the pole through that and then it just hangs free. Well, that's the theory. But with these shots, I knew that you would have the guest speaker who was doing the meet and greet thing, and then the one other person, and that probably would have worked fine. However, I was also told sort of at the last minute there would also be a second person with the guest speaker as well as the delegate, so three people in total. So what I decided to do, I had a bag full of clamps. I think I took about 10 really strong metal clamps, the sort that like market traders use to keep their tarpaulins attached to their market, their stalls. I had a bunch of those, and so I turned the backdrop horizontally, so it went further across to take up that whatever I said it was, about 9 feet or so width, because I knew that if any extra people went in there, that there wouldn't be enough edge to edge backdrop, and I'd have to do a heck of a lot of Photoshop, just sort of like cloning it in or sort of like filling in the gaps, and really didn't want to do that. So I turned it around and clamped it on, clamped it down the sides of the uprights, and that was all fine. And it actually reached from the ceiling right down to the floor, and I just tucked it in, and I just had to make sure that there weren't kind of folds and creases. Now, what I will say is that because it was in a bag and I had to cart it on the train and up through London and all the rest of it, there were creases. There always are creases in there because it's not kept free flowing in the studio space. It's always sort of loosely folded. Now, I'm just going to take a sip of tea, a bit of a dry throat, excuse me. There we go. Yes, so I set that up and that was fine. And then I had to think about the lighting. And I have pondered this for pretty much a year. And I do this every year. A few years back, the keynote speaker, the guest speaker, had said that they didn't want any flashlight used. And I said, okay, not a problem. We can get around that. We can use these continuous light source. Two lamps bounced off the ceiling, no diffusion other than, you know, the bounced light, which is a bit softer coming off the ceiling. Not ideal, but it worked okay. And we did that for a couple of other years and the client's happy and it seems to work quite well. And I was that close to taking flash this time. And the client said, yes, flash should be fine and whatever. And then they said about me taking a backdrop, and I never drive to London. I don't have any desire to drive to London. I can always manage taking the train and a taxi, and I feel more refreshed or more fresh when I'm ready to take pictures on site, even if it's in an office somewhere or on location. And I can usually take everything, you know, in roller cases, my Pelly 1510. Normally what I take is two Pelly 1510 roller cases, one with my camera gear in, and the other with flash kit. Or on this occasion with this client, I have a Pelly case and then an old low pro Pro Trekker AW, I think it was. Photo Trekker AW, one of the old ones, which lives actually in a regular suitcase, like a hard shell suitcase, and that's what I take. So I have the Pelly case and that with the suitcase with these two continuous halogen lamps. Each of them are, I think, 1,000 watts, so very, very bright. Trouble is they heat up quite a lot, so it's something to think about. But then when they said I needed to take a backdrop, I thought, do you know what? I could have travelled light with the flash stuff, but then I'd have to take a couple of stands and softboxes, collapsible softboxes, which would have been fine. But I thought, I'm not going to take all of that and the backdrop stand and the backdrop material. So I ended up going to the default of using the continuous lights, which was okay, and it'll be interesting to see what might happen next year. So I set those up, bounced off the ceiling, and for those shots, because I was using continuous lights, so not flash, I was going to be working at higher ISO, and I still use a Nikon D3 because it's still very good at low light. And that was shooting around the ISO 6400, and it was okay. There wasn't quite the same intensity this time. I think maybe a bit of light got absorbed around the place. It was okay. Yeah, the results were fine. The clients be happy and all the rest of it. But I had that set up with the 24-70, and that's what I used. Now, when I do that setup, I always have a second camera ready to go just in case. Never need to use it, usually. On this occasion, I was taking these pictures and I was checking on the back of the camera to make sure that I was, you know, happy doing a few, you know, quick glances in between bursts of shots. And I would shoot sort of two or three at a time, and it's usually fine. And I had a quick look at a couple of them, and then shot some more, quick look. And I suddenly thought, these aren't sharp. The focus was locking on. I was using the autofocus. The camera had been working fine. I hadn't dropped it. It was all okay. But I was thinking, oh no, this is like a one-time deal. It's a bit like shooting a wedding. You only get one chance. These people don't want to wait around. And I thought, oh no, what's going on? The client wouldn't be aware of it. And I thought I'm probably just like, you know, it's so fast paced. I'm probably like, my eyes are tired. I felt as though my eyes are a little bit tired at the moment. I'm actually due for a regular sort of 2-yearly optician's appointment. So I think that could be interesting. And I thought, well, maybe it's just that. So I had my D800 set up, sat on a chair there next to me with an old 24-85mm Nikon lens, which I still use mainly for the close-up for the macro. But, you know, it's still not a bad lens. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to think. I'm just going to grab that camera, carry on shooting. It was set up with the same ISO. It was set up with the same aperture. It was almost the same setup. Different body, different lens, but the fundamentals of the settings were basically the same. And I did a few shots like that, and those were all okay, came out sharp, and, you know, people had their pictures, then they went, and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to find with these earlier shots? Well, I looked at them, I thought, well, they're kind of okay, actually. And then when I look at the pictures, on my computer, when I was editing, sure enough, they're fine. So I have no idea what was going on. I think I must have just, I don't know, just in the moment, I think my eyes just must have not been seeing quite so clearly. And, you know, it could have been slight distortion on the back of the screen even. You know, the rest of the shots shot on that camera, the D3, I'll be talking about in a moment, the rest of the afternoon, evening, absolutely fine. So, you know, but the lesson there is, when you're in those situations and you don't have a chance to stop and talk and say, oh, hang on, I just got to check this, and you don't, you need to keep professional and do your job. Having a backup, a lot of people say, well, I've got a camera, I could do that. Well, excuse me. What would happen if your camera had gone wrong? And it could have been the lens, may not have been the camera, it could have been the lens. If it had gone wrong, and you only had that one setup, what would you do? Would you supply out of focus pictures? It's not really a good thing to do, is it? So there's a lesson in there. So the remainder of the afternoon, once I'd done those, was just to try and get some of these speaker shots. So I was at the back of this room. I had the camera set up on the tripod again, and for this, because I was right at the back, I had a bigger lens. I had an 80-200 f2.8 shooting at, I think it was shooting at about f4, and it was around about, it was again sort of ISO 6400, giving me around about 1/60th or 200th of a second. Now, you'll remember earlier I was talking about the banding on the display screens, and I was saying that 1/60th is about as fast as you want to go. Well, sure enough, some of the pictures started to get this banding, but it was interesting. It was not, if I changed angles relative to the screen, sometimes it was worse, sometimes it wasn't as bad. But the dilemma there is, it was fairly low light, relatively speaking, obviously because I was having to use that high ISO, that the room was dark, essentially dark apart from spotlights. And whilst if you're sat there, you'd think, oh, it's quite bright. When you have people moving around on the stage, fairly animated, and you're having to freeze that action, but then they're in front of this screen, you have to decide, something's got to give, you've got to compromise. Are you going to have a slower shutter speed so you don't get the banding, but then you risk the subject showing too much movement so they're not sharp? Or do you go for a faster shutter speed to freeze the movement, but then have to just deal with the banding? Well, I kind of played around, and I shot enough pictures that I could think, oh, that's the shot. Ah, oh, but I don't really like the screen now. And I was able to find some near identical shots which sort of were perfectly good enough, did the job just as well. And like I said, you know, there weren't hundreds and hundreds of pictures, so I only needed about 3 or 4 shots of each person that I photographed, just to show some variety. They were all, well, I would say 90% of the pictures were shot in a horizontal format. A few of them were shot vertically, and some of them were shot a bit wider so that I was able to crop out. The screen didn't always need to be in the shot, so I was able to crop out the screen, so you would never know anyway. Always focus on the eyes, albeit the people are very small relatively in the frame, or that rather the eyes are very small in the frame, so you focus on the head, the middle of the face. And that worked absolutely fine. So all said and done, I was done by 9 o'clock, said my goodbyes. Everything had been packed up from the posed shots, and that was that. So, it was a late night. I got back, about 11:15, something like that. Backed everything up. Always back up your stuff, no matter how late it is. Getting back from a shoot or wherever you are, always have a means to back it up. So for that night, I had stuff backed up on the memory card. I also
shot to two memory cards. So if one failed, I had a duplicate of all the shots. You know, the shoot was at too high a value to not have those pictures. And then they're backed up to hard drives, and one set of pictures is kept off-site and one is kept in a different location. And I still have those pictures on the memory cards, and those memory cards will be wiped at the point when I next need to use them. That's for years, that's been my approach. A lot of people use the same approach. And that was it. So the editing, well, I won't go into that now because we'll keep this to around about half an hour, but the editing was all done. The pictures that were uploaded in high res, the link was sent to the client so they could download the pictures and start to be using them. And today, like I say, the prints are all, put in the folders, put in a box, packaged up, sent off, and those will be, should be arriving with them tomorrow. And that's that, basically. So that has been kind of a bit of a whirlwind tour. I suppose it's quite a technical one. There's a lot of meat on the bone for that one. I hope you've enjoyed that. But if you've got any questions about anything I've talked about, the kit, the setup, your approach, working with clients, all that sort of thing, do let me know. But yeah, I love it. You know, what I love about what I do is the variety. One minute I'm down by the water on a hillside or in an office, or yeah, then I'm doing stuff like that. I love live events because you're just working to the situation and dealing with it in that moment. It's brilliant. So that's kind of takes us up to now. So it's just about 4:45. I'm going to finish off my tea. I've still got work to do. I've got to stop in about probably just under an hour. So still got things to do. But like I said, I haven't stopped all day. So I might just sort of sit and have a look. I've got some research to do. So that might be a nice way to kind of just round off the next hour. So there you go. Like I say, I hope that's been of interest and of use. Any questions whatsoever, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. In next week's show, I'll be bringing you a nice contrast as I head once again into the outdoors. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.